Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by you. Over at theinstance.net, we have a support system that gives you all kinds of cool monthly rewards, digital and physical, and it's a great way to show the show that you love it. We made it ourselves. Check it out. That's at theinstance.net today. And by our friends at Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. Don't forget that code WOW gets you a free hard drive when you order a Doghouse system today.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Instance, episode 567. It is August 9th, 2019. I'm Scott Johnson, joined by Garrett Weinzierl. Hello, Garrett.
Hello, Scott. How you doing today?
Are we the only guys in the world? I guess Patrick does this, but we're the only. I feel like sometimes we're the only guys in the WoW slash gaming podcast world that don't use nicknames. Everyone else has a nickname, and we just call ourselves by our names.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I tried it for a short stint on StarCast, and I didn't like it.
Yeah? What were you? Let's hear that.
I think we had this talk on like the last episode of The Instance, but my original World of Warcraft main was named Saint Jimmy, which is a Green Day reference. So
yeah.
My first guild called me Saint, so I went by Saint. As a matter of fact, I think it's on here. So it's over around here somewhere. My very first BlizzCon lanyard has Saint on it.
Really?
Yeah.
My very first one says Scott Johnston because they screwed it up. And didn't put Johnson.
Well, it always has your real name in case they check. They've always had your real name, but they also put your character name underneath.
Oh, I see. Oh, right. Yeah, and I think I had
a two-liner.
I may have had GURP under there, now that I think about that.
Yeah, I can see Katie's, which says Wily underneath.
Wily, whoa. Like a coyote?
Which is a reference to one of the two baby Ewoks in Return of the Jedi.
I didn't realize those things had names.
They do have names.
This is
they
news
have
to names. Me.
We have the plushes they made in the 80s and sold at the park.
Are they cherish them and cuddle them and all that all these years later?
They look kind of gross because they're from the 80s, so the fur has seen better days.
Well, you know what? You could say that about me. I'm from the 80s. And my fur is a little weird since then.
I am very much from the 80s.
Actually, you're literally spawned from the 80s.
Literally spawned in the 80s.
Yeah. I just don't have any reference. So it's funny. I was born in 69, but I don't have any memory of the 70s at all. That to me, that was just a, I don't know. I don't remember anything. I mean, maybe a couple little things here and there, family related or something, but very few memories of that. All my memories come from like 82 through 90. Those are my memories.
Yeah, my memories pick up in the early 90s.
Yeah, isn't that weird? It's weird. It's weird how our brains are. It's like they're at their most healthy and growing, yet we can't retain shit from our first 10 years.
Okay, apparently my memory starts to pick up in 91 because my earliest memory, like strong memory, is going to see Hook.
Oh, good Lord.
And that's when it came out.
Do you also have a residual strong memory that Hook was terrible? Do you have that?
No, I really like it because I was very young when I saw it.
Hate Hook so much. I was like 20, 21, and I hated it. Anyway, am I much older than you? I can't be. How old you would have been?
You're significantly older than me, Scott.
Not significant. It's only like 15 years or 10, 15.
So how old are you?
50. I just turned 50.
I am 32.
Holy shit.
It's almost 20 years.
All right.
Almost 20 years.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. When I'm 80, you'll be 60. Enjoy.
And we'll still be doing this show. It's okay, Scott.
I guess so.
Don't worry. I'll come visit you in the home.
Welcome back, everybody. It is good to have you all here. We have a bunch of stuff to cover today. It is we're hurtling toward Classic in a very real way now. And
it is like, it's here. We had the test yesterday. We got name claiming coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
Before I know it, Classic is going to be here. Frankly, they should have just put it out last Tuesday with every other damn thing.
Yeah, no kidding, right? It was quite the patch day for Blizzard. I think maybe they're clearing the slate to make room for Classic is my expectation.
Yeah, it is. It has been a week. If you're like me and you like basically everything Blizzard does, you're kind of like, oh boy, I wish I had turned down some contract work this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to play, and they want us to play it. But it's coming up fast. We're here to talk about it. Let's do it. All right, as indicated before, WoW Classic is coming. Blizzard put up this big primer for it. Kind of a, hey, get ready, and here's what you got to do and what you should know kind of thing. Included everything from sort of guides on how to get started to minimum requirements for your computer. Before we get further about that, I wanted to ask you if you tried the final day test big push thing yesterday or no. Did you avoid that?
I did not. Yesterday was meeting hell, followed by Into the Nexus. So I had no time to get in and try it, but I mean, I already been in enough of the stress tests. I wasn't really.
Well, I watched you guys play. Well, I watched part of the live show of ITN, and then I watched you guys play for a long, long time. We'll get to later how we feel about how do you say your name? Kira.
Kira.
Kira with a Q.
Kira.
Yeah. We'll talk about that because I think she's awesome, and I want to see what you think. But don't tell me yet.
Okay.
I want this to be a surprise. I have this feeling. I have a feeling about how you're going to react, but I don't want to spoil it yet. I just have a feeling.
All right. Well, when we get to that, lead with how you think I feel.
Okay. All right. That seems like a really healthy way to do things in life is for me to assume how people feel and then proceed accordingly. That seems good.
Planning the show while we do the show.
That's
welcome
right
to the instance.
Great idea.
All right. So no, I didn't try that. I didn't get into it yesterday. I love the primer. I love that they lead with minimum requirements, which basically means, does your computer turn on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you meet the minimum requirements. Congratulations.
Basically, yeah. So here's their minimum that they list, although I would wonder if you could probably skirt around these if you have something very old. But Windows 7 64-bit with latest service pack. So you got to have that.
Which is arguably the newest thing in this list.
I would agree. Yeah. Because the processor.
Scott, when was the last time you even thought about the phrase Intel Core 2 Duo?
I mean, it's been about a decade since that.
Because last time I thought about that processor, I was playing vanilla World of Warcraft.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. They say Intel Core Duo 2 E6600 or the AMD Phenom X3 8750. So old ass chips will get you through the day. Video card, you need at least an NVIDIA GeForce 8800 GT, which was an older 512 megabyte card, or the Radeon HD 4850, or the Intel HD Graphics 4000. Now, here's a funny thing about that. Those specs are higher than they were for actual vanilla. So I don't know what that means, except to say, great, but that's the specs were lower in 04 than that. Same with memory. This says 2 gig of RAM. They said 4 gigabyte of integrated graphics, such as Intel HD graphics series. You need to have that for memory, but 2 gig minimum was, I think you could do lower than that with vanilla WoW, if I remember right.
I don't even remember. I was playing on a Toshiba satellite laptop. I do not remember the specs of that thing other than it overheated a lot.
Oh, my Lord. Toshiba satellite. That must have been. I mean, that had to be under these specs. There's no way.
It would have been. I got that laptop in 2005, a year you were calling into question as to the quality of.
Oh,
I will go to bat for.
You know what? Let's do that. Let's do that real quick. Let's do that. So I made this comment on the internet that on Twitter there that my favorite years are usually on the fives. And I loved 85, I loved 95, all for different reasons. And I love 2015. 2015 is one of my favorite years ever. Why 2005 is, you know what, I think I figured it out. Because you were right. Your points were good. Like if that's the year you started playing WoW, great. I started in 04, but I take your meaning. It was Batman Begins came out that year. That was really cool. There were lots of things to be excited about in 2005. But my wife's family all lived in Mississippi and all got like, completely hammered and near destroyed by Katrina. And so I associate 05 with Katrina, I think. So I think that's why I don't like that year very much. Because we had a bunch of them come here and like stay with us, and it was just like omnipresent that year that the hurricane wiped everybody out. So I don't have a lot of big feelings for that year. But you gave some fine, strong arguments in 200.
Yeah, I mean it was like one of the best years for music.
Yeah.
A pretty damn great year for movies. We got Batman Begins that year. We got Sin City. We got the good prequel of Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. The only one, and it's not that great by itself.
Yeah, I mean, American Idiot technically came out in 2004, but it was like the tail end, so it was really like the album of 2005.
Yeah.
Like it was fine. The radio could finally like have like music that wasn't just America rah-rah. That was nice in 2005. It was nice to have some counterculture making it onto the mainstream.
Sure.
There was so much good stuff in 2005. That was when Gorillaz put out Demon Days. That album is nuts.
Oh, that is a good album, yeah. You know, you're right. You're right. I think I was covered in Katrina goo and I couldn't see straight.
Katrina was a huge.
It was pretty gnarly, man. It was bad.
Yeah. It was horrible.
Yeah. Turns out that was really bad. I don't want to undersell it or anything, but it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. Anyway.
Yeah, I got hit by a hurricane not that long ago and Katrina was way worse.
Oh yeah. You live in hurricane land, you know what this is like.
Yeah, Irma came right the hell over my house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that. And you were, I remember, what was the deal? There was some, I remember following you and we were all worried about you.
Oh, I was boarding up my windows.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember getting a lot of messages because I posted the video because I thought people would find it interesting. I didn't even consider that people would be really concerned for my safety. But yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Aw, super nice of everyone. So check this out. 5 gigabytes. Available space. You need to have 5 gigabytes. I think we can probably scrape that up somewhere on our hard drives. Internet, you need a broadband internet connection. Although in 04, you could do it with dial-up because I did once. So that's a higher spec. Keyboard and mouse, blah, blah, blah. Resolution, you need 1024 by 768 minimum display resolution. So I think
I think this is... It's really the widescreen, I think, that's kind of driving up the minimum requirements here because a lot of us didn't have a widescreen back when we were playing.
Oh, good point. Yeah, they didn't have to drive HD displays back then, which is, by the way, there's more to that than just, here, I'm sending video to you. Like, those displays need more power from your card. Like, it's a different animal. Yeah, so,
I wish I could remember how much RAM, but I distinctly remember going out with Katie, who I'm now married to, to get more RAM for her computer, which definitely had a 4x3 display at the time, so that she could play Guild Wars. This was before we played WoW.
Oh, okay. Guild Wars.
And then eventually we ended up in World of Warcraft.
Guild Wars 1, baby. That game was cool.
Yeah.
That game was cool. I liked it.
I was the worst possible mix of classes.
Why? What?
I was an elementalist warrior because I thought they looked cool. turns out I should have went warrior elementalist because... Then you had the armor to actually survive having melee spells.
It was an odd game. It's basically
bad. I made a bad choice.
It's basically you would sit in a room basically, and then you'd match with other players, and then you'd go out and kind of do almost like a Diablo kind of thing.
It was like a Diablo MMO. Really was odd. I mean, I don't think you ever did. You ever play Phantasy Star? Because it was also a lot like Phantasy Star.
I did. I played Phantasy Star on the Dreamcast, I believe. And it reminded me of that. Yeah, because you got kind of a hub world or hub space, and then you would just all run out and do your shit, and then come back. Whereas Guild Wars 2 is like a full blown MMO experience.
Guild Wars 2 is good.
It is good. It is good. It's great. I think it gets short shrift these days because I think there's a lot of shiny going on with not only WoW, but, the resurgence of Final Fantasy XIV and its popularity. And ESO and others have done well, and they're, I don't know, if kind of overshadows it. It bums me out because I think Guild Wars 2 is actually a pretty fine MMO.
Who'd have thought it would take us getting to 2019 until they were, like, legitimate contenders for WoW quality?
Isn't that crazy? I never thought it would happen. I just kind of gave up on it. In fact, if anything, I would argue Final Fantasy is actually challenging WoW now in a way that I would have never predicted. And I don't know what the numbers are, so I can't speak to that. But I can speak anecdotally about a ton of my friends who are just freaking chest deep into that game and loving it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Claiming this new expansion is the greatest thing ever. And, you know, just raving about that thing. So it's, you know,
I like it just because I can be a cat person.
There you go. Are you a cat? Are you playing it right now? Are you dabbling?
I dabbled. I dipped my toe in it to see what all the hubbub was about. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is nice. I don't have time for this.
Yeah, that's the other thing is I don't have time. I mean, I want to have time, but I don't.
It was this exactly my same experience with ESO last month of, wow, this is really cool. Yeah, I don't have time for this.
This is all true. For the Mac folks out there, and there are plenty of them who played the original WoW, you need Mac OS 10.12, which is, I think, the latest version. Yeah, we're at 10.12 now. So they want you on the hot new thing. You need at least a Core i5 2 gigahertz or better, which is ironic because I don't think 10.12 runs on a machine that would have those old parts. So kind of a weird weird thing. You need a metal-capable GPU with 1 gigabyte of VRAM. Again, metal-capable came way later after an Core i5, I think. I may have this wrong in my head. But anyway, 2 gigabytes of RAM, broadband internet connection, keyboard and mouse, 1024 by 768, kind of similar stuff there. So that's your basics. If you've got hardware that'll handle that, you're good for classic. My guess is anyone who cares is well way beyond these capabilities, and this is not even going to matter to them. And so we have probably already spent too much time on it.
I'm sure somebody out there is doing like an honest to God, like old school build, yeah, just to say that they did.
Yeah. Yeah. This is all true. They also added realm types. They're going to have a normal realm, which is kind of what I always played on, PvP realm, RP realms, and this is a late breaking addition, RP PvP realms. At least one. They're going to add one for role players who prefer the rule set of PvP realms, expecting combat in contested areas and shared questing zones. So look forward to that fight if you are into it. I seem to remember a few people I knew back in the day who loved that that combination.
I mean, if you're going to yell for people to come back you up as you're getting ganked, mm-hmm, it is kind of cool to do it in character,
yeah,
and in the universe.
Ezekiel, to me, they would yell. Or
if you're playing Alliance, you have to come up with like in-universe vaguely racist remarks for orcs. And if you're playing Horde, you have to come up with in-universe vaguely racist remarks for humans.
Right. Yeah, this is doing classic right, the way you've described it. For the Alliance, this is the thing I think people have forgotten about. Don't forget, the separation of Paladin and Shaman is in full effect here. So, if you are Alliance, you can roll a Paladin. If you are Horde, you can roll a Shaman, but not the opposite. Horde do not have Paladins, and Alliance have no access to Shaman. Not yet. That would come much later in the game. Let's see. If you are a Dwarf, you get to be Hunter, Paladin, Priest, Rogue, Warrior. Gnomes get to be Mage, Rogue, Warlock, or Warrior. Humans get to be most everything. Mage, Paladin, Priest, Rogue, Warlock, and Warrior. And Night Elves, somewhat limited, get Druid. Oh, that's what it was. Druids, not Paladins. Or no, wait a minute. No, we had Druids on the other side.
Paladin is the Alliance-specific
class. Right. Because Druids were on both sides. I forgot about the Tauren Druids. Anyway, Night Elf, Druid, Hunter, Priest, Rogue, Warrior. If you're on Horde, you got kind of the same layout, except in the case of orcs, you can be a shaman instead of a paladin. And druids go to the Taurens. Trolls get the most, which I had forgotten about. They get hunter, mage, priest, rogue, shaman, and warrior. But not their own starting area, which kind of cracks me up. It's like, hey, what if the trolls could be everything, but they start where the orcs do? That'd be great. At least until what? When did that happen? Cataclysm, they got it?
Trolls get everything except a home.
Except a home they can call their own. The undead get to be mage, priest, rogue, warlock, and warrior. So there's your breakdown of class types. And if all those sound familiar, it's because that's exactly what you could do in vanilla. Starting locations.
Gnomes were so limited in classic.
I know, right? And Taurens, for that matter. Like rogues, gnomes and Taurens got the short end of the stick in both cases. They just did not.
Taurens seems right to me. Night elves seem like they have more classes than I remember, because I thought night elves and Tauren were like tied for the limited classes. Because I thought I had it in my mind that whatever races had druids, they were the ones that got like limited class options. But no, night elves actually have one more class option than gnomes.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Not how my brain remembered it. Night elves are tied with undead and orcs for class options.
Well, I never liked those little bastards, so I'm happy to hear that they're going back to their crappy situation and not having very many classes to be.
Yeah. My issue with this is I don't want to play a warlock, but I got to be a night elf because I played a night elf in vanilla.
Yeah,
I can't.
Now you can't be a night, I can't be a warlock. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
What will you choose then? If you're going to be a night elf, what are you going to do here? What are you going to choose?
I'm really leaning towards rogue, but I'm also thinking I may want to punish myself and level a warrior.
Oh, Lord. I mean, the I would probably go druid because that first iteration of druid is pretty wacky. I think I would do that if I was going night elf. But I was all horde in the early days, so I feel like I'd be... I have to do what I started with, right? I feel like. Or at least I... that's what
I have. Unless unless you want to play with me.
I mean...
come on over. Come on over, man.
I just have this nostalgia for what I played, and I don't... I mean, here's what I still believe pretty strongly that I'm going to get in, and I'm actually going to go, ugh, I don't want to do this again. I still kind of feel that way. However,
you're going to feel that way until, you know, we're all playing and you play with us and we're all having fun.
And that's my point. Blast. That's exactly my point. I probably should do something on the Alliance side with other friends and co-hosts and actually, you know, have some fun that way. Like, that should be the way I do this. Because in 03, when I was playing the alpha and beta, and then even at launch, I was on my own. Like, that was like the whole point of the game for me was, oh, finally an MMO I can play by myself, which seems counterintuitive. But at the time, that was a huge deal. Like, it was a huge deal. You couldn't do that in Dark Age of Camelot. You couldn't do that very well in EverQuest 1, certainly. The quest progression and sort of single player story sort of stuff didn't exist in MMOs. And so WoW was hugely innovative in that regard. And I could play just about any character and do it on my own and be okay. With the exception of group quests and stuff like that. But because of that, it was a lot of solo experience for me in those early years, or probably early year, I would say, until things really started taking off. I probably should. I want to go where the people are. I'm like Ariel. That's what I'm going to do. That's a dumb reference.
I want to see them leveling.
Slowly and grinding and taking forever. I can't afford that mount. So what am I doing?
Grab your Danglehopper and meet me on Lightbringer.
Yeah. Get in there.
I'm really looking forward to it. Like, I think you might find yourself pleasantly surprised by how much you're enjoying. You might end up enjoying the inaccessibility of it all.
Maybe. I mean,
I'm really looking forward to grouping up with people to go questing and that being a thing.
Yeah, and having it be a challenge.
Let's speed through Westfall, because if we did it alone, it would take forever. But at the same time, if I'm playing alone, I'm really kind of looking forward to being stuck in a zone for a while.
Yeah.
You remember back in the day, it's like, where are you at? Oh, I'm in Westfall. I'm going to be here for a week.
Yeah, I'll see you guys in a month. I'm in freaking
It's also because I didn't really know how to play. Like, I'm sure I'm going to burn through it quicker than I did before. But
it's you're right, though. Like, I remember playing an undead mage and getting stuck forever in Silverpine Forest because that's where you got stuck. And it just seemed like it took forever, and I was dying a lot, and I was repairing a lot, and I had all these issues in that place. And when I finally get out of it, it felt like this huge, you know, achievement that I got through that stuff. I guess that feeling is going to return. We haven't had that in a while. In a lot of ways, WoW has become, I don't know, watching Classic evolve has reminded me anyway that WoW has become a bit of a theme park, kind of. The rides are great, but there's you were never in any danger. Keep your hands in at all times, that you're strapped down, you're OSHA approved. You know what I mean? Like, you're never in any danger to die in current day WoW. Not really. Unless you did something dumb and, you know, pulled a huge mob thing or something, you know, whatever.
Except when I go right, except instead of left, and that one fork in Nazjatar, and then I die by getting jumped by 20 Naga.
Right.
I'm with you on that, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to the slow pace.
I think I finally understand that criticism, though, because for years people would say, "Oh, WoW's just gotten too, you know, there's no challenge there. It's just you're just on the you're on a loot grind and you're doing character progression and those are the hooks, but you're not really being challenged." And maybe that's what the game needed to evolve through to continue to be good, because I remember people complaining about how hard things were, and now they all want it back. So whatever, players are fickle, and now we're in nostalgia town, and that's a weird town. So I'm not going to side entirely with that, but I'm starting to understand what they mean. You know, like, it was harder. It was a challenge. WoW in its current state, is not about that outside of, you know, Mythic Rider. They put in challenges, but they were but it's no longer in the base game. It's no longer in the front facing every moment kind of player on world kind of way. It's all relegated to Mythic level dungeon runs and Mythic level raiding and stuff like that. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's just been so much conversation about just this leveling experience and talking about the level switch and all of that. And I think a lot of that comes from this realization that not everything in Classic and BC or whatever, however far back you want to go, was necessarily bad.
Yeah.
There were some points to it. There was some that some of the clunk actually was at the heart of a bit of the fun.
Yeah, I agree. Clunk and fun. Sometimes they go together, turns out. Stormwind City and Orgrimmar are your starting and capital cities. We are no longer adding a new city. You're starting in the basics, and they are pre-visual changes. So looking forward to some really shitty architecture. And again,
I mean, have you been to Stormwind lately? Like, those buildings still look pretty jank.
They look pretty bad. Just, yeah,
it's just bigger.
They've never. I remember in 04 thinking that the Alliance buildings and like the white brick tower stuff looked bad. It looked bad then, so it never looks good to me. Like, the only time it looks
Iron
good
Forge
is
looked
cinematic.
Amazing though back in the day.
Iron
like,
Forge
the first
was
time I walked into Iron Forge. Yep. Oh my god, I was just like, this is the coolest thing I have ever seen.
That was breathtaking. I thought that the Teldrassil looked amazing. I thought, oh gosh, what else in vanilla?
Undercity blew my mind.
Yeah, Undercity was crazy. Even Orgrimmar, when I came around the corner and just saw, oh my gosh, we have this huge enclave in this canyon. Like, this is insane. Like, all of that stuff is great. I just don't know how I'm going to feel about it when I see those things this time. Am I going to walk around the corner and be, ooh, or am I going to go, ooh, this place, a little sparse, a little ugly.
I think you can handle it better than you think. You've been role-playing a lot. So I think once you're in it for, you're in the game for an hour, you're going to stop thinking about it.
That's true.
It's all going to be relative to your experience. So by the time you finally get, you're done picking cactus apples and you get over to Orgrimmar, I think you're going to be like, oh man, this is cool. I forgot.
Cactus
this is rad.
Apples. Oh my gosh. You know, those are still there. I did a little, I can't remember why I did it, but I went to start a orc to do some test about early level stuff I did recently in the main game. And they still have that damn quest to go get those damn cactus apples. I hate those things. Hate it. And the orcs that are sleeping, jobs done, those guys running around. F those guys.
Oh, I love beating the peons.
I don't know, man. That first cave, it's rough. That area is still rough. Anyway, I don't know. I'm back and forth on this thing. But check this out. Ability, weapons, and spells and talents. That's all coming back. Now, if you don't remember, you used to do ranks. That's how this worked. You would level up and gain new ranks to things. So, for example, if you had Ancestral Spirit and you leveled to level 4, I think it was, you would get Ancestral Spirit rank 2. This was true for most of the classes, most of their abilities and their spells. So get used to that. But also a reminder that when you did that, you would go to a trainer and you would pay them money to get to those ranks. So you didn't just level and go, bing, you automatically have a new ability. You would go, bing, shit, I don't have 500 gold or whatever it was. It was lower than that. But it's more like, I don't have 4 gold. That's how you did it. You paid your way to success. And respecking costed a bunch of money. And the talent tree was a stack of icons that's very reminiscent of something like, what's this like? It's a little like, what was the game where you... for a hot minute, everyone thought it was going to be great. It's a short word. Shit. Tryon Worlds made it.
What? it's like, I have no idea.
Rift.
Oh, well, Rift came after Classic WoW, so it's like Vanilla WoW. That's what these talents
really
are like. It is Vanilla WoW talent tree.
It really is. If you guys are looking for Vanilla but don't want to play WoW again, Rift is basically Vanilla WoW. I don't know how much of that game.
I bought Rift solely because you talked about it on this show many years ago.
Oops. I mean, no, it's cool. There's nothing wrong with
it. It was
Rift
a fun game
fine.
At the time.
Yeah, Rift is fine.
Yeah.
It's still going. It's still a thing. People like Rift.
And then WoW went, you know what? We'll just add random spawned world events into our game, and you'll never want to go back to Rift, Garrett. And I said, oh, turns out you were correct.
Smoke 1973 in the chat says, LOL, does Scott really like WoW in any form? Of course I do. I like it in lots of forms. My favorite times in WoW include the very beginning. Loved it then. Loved it in Wrath of the Lich King. Absolutely loved it. To me, that was high level.
Were you not a BC fan? Because I thought Burning Crusade, I have very, very fond memories about.
I don't know why I don't think of BC as strong or as fondly. I don't know why I feel that way about BC. I think BC was great, obviously, but I don't know.
I didn't raid until I got to BC. So I'm like, my first raid was Karazhan. And technically it was Magtheridan's Lair, but the first one I like really worked on as a progression thing was Karazhan.
Yeah. And I loved Cataclysm more than other people. A lot of people hated Cataclysm. I was not one of those people. I enjoyed that expansion and played it a ton and got
it full. Came together in the end. I fell off during everything up until I came back right at the end during the Deathwing raid.
Yeah, the Deathwing raid was awesome. I loved that.
A very good raid. Yeah, that was a high point for sure.
I got full gear sets out of that. I felt really good about my time in there.
And I am legitimately mad I missed Firelance because my raid team continued on without me. And apparently it was a very good raid, but I never did it when it was current.
I've done it. I did it when it was current and hard. And then I did it a little later when it was a little easier and we could run it fast. And then I did it once on my own. This is not long ago. I just went and did it for fun and soloed that whole damn thing. And then Pandaria is one of my favorite settings the game ever had. Like in terms of endgame and stuff, I wasn't as into it, but I loved my time. My 10 level experience in that expansion, maybe my favorite. I loved Pandaria. And still just think so fondly of it. And I think Legion's amazing. So there you go, guys. Smoke. Smoke 1973. There are plenty of things in WoW. And right, you know what? The beginning of this expansion I really enjoyed. It really petered out for me toward where we are now. But there's always something to like.
The leveling is very good in this expansion. I mean, the zones, the two continents in BFA are freaking incredible.
Yeah. And if I'm honest, that's kind of my... That's where most of my love of Warcraft is the leveling and the story and that progression part of the game. Endgame has never been my strong suit. It's not the thing I have the most interest in. I dip in and dip out, but I always love the initial stuff, always, almost without exception. In fact, I think I liked it just fine in Warlords. There was some cool stuff going on there. It's just when they get to that, you know, tip of that spear and then they're like, all right, now we're going to time gate everything and things get weird, and then I'm not as into it. But I guess I always love WoW when it's like that, and all whatever this new expansion is, I will love it for that. It's going to be weird though, dude, because we are going to live in a post-classic world when a new expansion comes out for WoW Prime, and I don't know what that means. Like, what do players do? Do they care? Is classic going to be too good? Like, what do you think about that?
I think you're going to have a mix is the only realistic answer, I think. I think you're going to have your hardcore classic players, you're going to have your hardcore live players, and you're going to have people like me who I'm pretty damn sure I'm going to go between the two.
Right. I mean, that's what I expect, but I don't know. It's just going to be weird. Two versions of WoW running simultaneously in the same launcher. That's just weird.
If classic is what Blizzard, if Blizzard chalks Classic up to a success, it's going to be nothing but a good thing, and they can start purposefully timing updates to both and offset them.
Yep, there it is.
So we have a Classic update in between a lull for updates for Live would be wonderful, and I hope that's what they do.
Remember weapon skills? Remember having to pay for those and level those up?
Oh, yeah, I remember distinctly heading out into the jungle, unequipping my stuff just so I could level up my unarmed for when I got disarmed in PvP.
Yep. That was a thing. It's now a thing again.
Did you get disarmed to PvP? Honestly, I don't remember if that was a thing in vanilla.
I don't know.
There was a reason I needed to level up my disarm, my unarmed at some point.
I can't remember either, but bows, crossbows, daggers, guns, one-handed axes, one-handed maces, one-handed swords, pole arms, staves, swords, thrown weapons, two-handed axes, two-handed maces, two-handed swords, and unarmed.
Everything.
And wands, all of it. That mattered.
Oh, my God, wands.
Yeah, wands, remember?
Oh, dude, I remember. I remember.
There's a lot to get. There's a lot of stuff. We're just like, oh shit, right? That was a thing.
Yep.
Let's see. Professions. That's all coming back. And I never did it anyway, so I don't care about that. Grouping and looting. Here's a fun reminder. Here's how this worked. All right. So you got to go to the stones. There is no port somebody in. There's no, automated way of doing this. LFR. LFG, all that stuff's gone. So yep, you're yep. Gonna...
you better trust your party leader.
Yeah,
that's... is really the TLDR on this.
Yep. And here is his rule. Here are the rules the party leader will have in regards to loot. Master loot, the party leader determine who gets the loot. You can do round robin. Each member of the party loots in turn. So you had to set that. And if I remember right, the default was master loot. And to get round robin, what would usually happen is you'd kill the first wave of trash.
I don't remember what the default was.
Well, I always remember getting the first wave of trash and then the leader going, oh, shit, it's still on master. Hold on. And then he would change it to round robin. That always happened.
I think group default. I think group is default.
Group is the party members can roll on powerful items. That may have been default. Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure group loot was default.
But for like a five man dungeon, that sucked because you just wanted a round robin it because the stuff that was dropping was, you know, or well, I can't remember now, though, if you didn't get to roll. Oh, it was need before greed. That's what it was. Only party members can use. That's the thing they always had to switch it to. That's what it was in those fights. But okay. if you're out in the world just doing quest trash and stuff, you wanted it on round robin. That's what you wanted. Because every other would get the money.
Yeah. But a party leader could change it to whatever they wanted it to be. So that's why you really need to trust your party leader.
Yeah. Be a good party leader. Also trust the guy you got. Free for all was another option that I hated. Anyone can loot anything. That was chaos and dumb and it shouldn't have been there. I mean, whatever. That's the most realistic, I suppose. For WoW Classic, the raids you're going to get are Strathholm and Molten Core. Now, we all remember that.
Strathholm is a dungeon, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. That is a dungeon, but Molten Core is your raid. Yeah. Now, do you remember the Molten Core Warlords redo thing that we all played? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It was terrible.
Yeah. I don't want to go near that place ever again.
I want to do it when it's at level current. Like, I want to do it in Classic. I have no interest in revisiting it in the live game.
I just don't know, man. That thing is rough. And all those attunements, that's a thing again. So if you want to run Molten Core, you got to get Molten Core Attunement, if I remember correctly.
Attunement. Oh, yes, dude, of course. You got to get your core fragment.
Yeah, and Attunement didn't get really nutty, I don't think, until Karazhan. That got real dumb. I hated that.
I loved the Karazhan Attunement because you had to go through all the dungeons to get the keys at the end, and I loved running dungeons. And so, like, because the Karazhan Attunement was locked behind the dungeon, there was just dungeon runs happening all the time. It was very easy to find groups.
Yeah.
I got Karazhan Attunement while I was on vacation in the Keys. I was on my Toshiba satellite.
Oh my gosh.
On the hotel, like the Ethernet coming out of the wall.
Yeah.
And we defeated Murmur and I got the last key I needed for Karazhan.
Nice. Well done on that. I don't know. It's starting to sound
I loved Attunement. I liked Attunement a lot because it was like this joint project that, like, especially if you got in sync with a friend and you worked on Attunement together, it was this thing you kept coming back to and working on over time. I liked Attunement, so I thought they were fun. I think it's way more fun than just the endless rep grind of current endgame.
Well, yeah, I'm current endgame. There's no, I don't know. There is something to be said for working, getting yourself prepared for the content, right? And not just going to the content because it's time. And I do like that in theory, but I remember hating Attunements at the time. I may feel different now. We'll see. I mean, all of this is still better.
Yeah, I never hit max level during vanilla.
Right.
So that came. It wasn't a thing for me. So Karazhan was like my first real Attunement.
So you hit 70 in BC, or is it 70? Yeah, 70, right?
Yeah, I think we've had this discussion before. I didn't know I could get like up the talent levels on my pet, so didn't keep aggro at all. Like, I was a horrible hunter in vanilla World of Warcraft. And 42 was, I think, as high as I made it in vanilla.
Yeah. Lon Makes in the chat says, attunements suck for casual players. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, if you're a super casual player of World of Warcraft and you're super stoked for Classic, man, I got some bad news for you on the casual front. It's not going to be casual. You're going to be... that's the other thing I worry about here. I don't have the time that I used to have, and even then I didn't really have the time. Like, do I have time to go that hard and that far? I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe I won't max level in vanilla again.
If you don't like Nagitar, you've got the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
It's a personal thing. It depends on what you want from the game. Because if you're casual and you like leveling, I've got great news for you. Classic is all about the leveling.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
If you're casual and you want to do endgame, okay, yeah, you're in trouble.
That is all true.
It depends on what you want out of the game.
Looking forward to August 27th. That's the day. Global release. And it's on a schedule, but you know where you live and you know when you're getting it. They have a whole page up for it now. It looks really nice if you haven't seen it. Got all these guides up there and some forums and shop stuff and all that. So go check it out. All right. What else? I mentioned the PvP, PvP, RP, PvP realm.
Are you ready to reserve your name?
No, I'm not, because I don't know where I'm going to be on the 12th, because I'm supposed to perform a wedding that day, and now I'm concerned about where I'm going to be. So assuming I'm not around, I may not be able to secure GURP or Vorpine or these three or four other names that I have fond feelings for. Roy, I'd love to get Roy again. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'll try. Are you going to stick around and be there on 3 p.m. PDT? What is that, 6 p.m. your time?
I'm going to certainly try. Yeah, yeah. It'd be 6 p.m. for me. So, yeah. No, Katie and I are going to sit around and try and get our old school Night Elf names.
Nice. It says character name reservation for WoW Classic opens next week. This is Monday, August 12th. At that time, we mentioned 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Players with an active subscription or game time on their World of Warcraft account be able to create up to 3 characters per WoW account and have the names reserved before Classic releases worldwide on Monday, the 26th. We will release details regarding realm names and realm types later this week, so you can coordinate with your friends on where to begin your adventure. If there are high numbers of players congregating in individual realms during the name reservation character creation process, we will post warnings about the potential for long queues on those realms, giving you time to choose alternate realms if you want to. Also, please note, character creation will be limited to only one faction per realm on PvP realms. Was that true before? Or is that just because of this?
Yes.
Okay.
100% true. Yes. All right. Yeah, it's just a thing that you need to be reminded of, because that's no longer the case.
Here are the limitations. Maximum of 10 characters per Classic realm. Maximum of 50 characters across all Classic realms in your region. Only one faction per realm on PvP realms. And also, there are no overlap character limits with World of Warcraft. So if you have 50 characters in Battle for Azeroth, you can have another 50 in Classic. They're separate. So that one does not ding the other pool. I'll be curious to see if you get your stuff, dude. Saint, whatever your name is. The Saint Croix, what's your name? What's the nickname you like? Saint Bath, what is it? What'd you say it was?
Saint Jimmy. It's Saint a song Jimmy. On American Idiot.
That's right. You're going to get Saint Jimmy all locked down on Monday. And I'll be excited to hear if you get that or not. All right. If you watched any of this freak out and drama about the Alabaster mounts, the 15-year anniversary stuff, and how pissed people are.
Well, I have eyes that function, and I have a Twitter account, so yes.
All right, me too. That's how I saw it. Everyone's all flipping out. So these are these Alabaster mounts that are like, they look like stone. To me, they seem like untextured mounts, but whatever.
They look like butt, if you ask me.
Yeah, I don't love them.
I think these mounts are hideous.
That's part of the problem. Not only are they just not all that amazing, I mean, they're okay, but the big complaint is that they're $25 in the store, and Blizzard saying, hey, let's celebrate 15 years together, and one would assume many people have paid a monthly fee of $15 a month and have been here the entire 15 years, and the reward is a thing you got to buy. That's the big complaint. And they're basing that a little bit on some, you know, I think there's something to this, like in the 5-year anniversary and the 10-year anniversary. And other anniversaries, they've had stuff to give you, and they gave it to you. They didn't say, here, go to the store and spend $25. So people are pissed.
They're still giving us a lot of things.
I agree. I just don't know why the freak out about the mounts. Like,
there's going to be a 15-year anniversary in-game event as part of 8.2.5. There's a dope-ass looking Deathwing mount. There's a pet you can get. Like,
is it because they're not just going to hand it to you? Like that Deathwing mount, you got to go earn it. Like, you got to get the achievements, kill the bosses, do the stuff, or you're not going to get it. Is that why, if you were to guess, is that why people are pissed? Because this isn't just a handover, here you go, here's a gift sort of thing?
I mean, I think people are pissed because this is the world we live in. I think because certain people on YouTube are telling them to be pissed.
We won't get into names, but some people like to tell people to be pissed.
Certain people have built entire brands around making people angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a little.
Yeah, I don't like. Here's the thing. Like, don't buy it.
Yes. Vote with your wallet here. It's a good idea. I recommend that.
Frankly, I'm glad that they look like butt. Because if they look good and I wanted to buy them, then I'd be angry.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a, you know what? That's a good takeaway. I don't like them either.
That's like the last store mount, whatever that flying dragon thing they added to the game. That was the last thing everyone was mad about. That I've got news for you, too. That mount is ugly as hell.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think that was
cool,
a good looking
great
mount.
It looks bad. I don't want to, I don't have to, or at least I don't want to spend my $25 because I think the mounts are ugly.
They've had some, though, that have been really awesome. And then I get mad because I don't really want to spend the money on it, but then I do it anyway.
They have. But how many times on the show, dude, do we have to sit here and go, we don't agree with store mounts, but also we don't care that much? Because that's like just stamp it. We need to make a stamp. Boom. There it is. That's our read on the mounts. Moving on.
Yeah, I'll just have a sound clip that'll play. It'll say, we don't like store mounts, but we don't really care. And I'll just play it every time.
We need to record it like legalese at the end of a drug commercial.
Super
like,
fast.
So like, we can go, people are mad about alabaster mounts. Moving on.
Yeah.
Here at the instance, we do not agree with store mounts. We think you shouldn't actually have to pay for mounts, but we also don't really care that much.
All right. Well, I'm actually going to go isolate what you just said because I think it was perfect. So I'm now marking that in the show and I'm going to go get it later. I know.
Just how many times can we get outraged about the same thing?
I know. It's tiring. It's exhausting. Actually, just outrage in general right now has got me kind of exhausted.
Yeah, I'm with Rusty Nails in the chat room. We'll get Taliesin to record it when he finally comes and guests on the show.
Yeah, there you go.
This is my favorite thing about watching TNE's stuff is every time Stormbound controversy, Taliesin has to say, I don't agree with it, but I have to cover the outrage.
Yeah, get you in trouble, too. Baton 2216, I'm not answering that question. What are you trying to do here? What kind of dirt are you kicking up, buddy? What kind of fart in church are you making there, buddy? All right. What else? The new Goblins and Worgens. We didn't have a show last week, so we haven't had a chance to talk about this. They look great. If you are a Goblin or Worgen, great. The new Goblin stuff looks great. The Worgen stuff looks great. In fact, the Worgen stuff in particular probably needed the most work, and I think they killed it. They look great. I don't know what the difference is. I don't know why they didn't look great before, but they always looked a little weird. I think they look amazing now, and so do the goblins. If you haven't seen these updates, you should go look at them because they're
ready. Well, the Worgen and the goblins, you know, they came in at Cataclysm, so they've always looked better than the classic models.
Yeah.
But these are definitely a major uptick in quality for sure. I mean, it's just the quality of the texture, like the paintings and whatnot. Like I've always, ever since we've gotten the new racial models, like it's just really been blowing my mind because I love my Warcraft art books, and we finally got to the point where these textures, they look like the art that come out of the books.
Yeah, they've done real well that way. But I got good news for those who hate Worgens and hate goblins. They're not in classic, so you can go play classic. They're not
in- How can you hate Worgens and goblins?
Well, you know, some people, I don't know, because maybe they represent something to somebody. I like Worgens and goblins. I'm not going to complain.
I think the one that got the biggest upgrade here is the female Worgen model. There's just, I can't quite put my finger on it, but the faces just look so much better.
Yeah, she got the most improvement. I'll agree with that. The goblins already, I think, looked okay, but these are, you know, these look better. These are refined. There's I have a great old clip about Worgens and goblins, but the girl called them Worgens. What was it called? Crap, I don't know where this is. Is it Cataclysm? Maybe that was it. Cataclysm. Oh yeah, here it is. So this is back when they announced Cataclysm. Hey guys. This is Rachel.
Charlie, you can't be serious.
I'm sorry, what? Cataclysm. And then she does a word thing.
Don't call me sure.
It's coming. Hang on for it. Wait for it,
Really dumb.
Nah, she takes forever to get to it. There it is, the Worgen and the Goblins. So there you go. Cataclysm and Worgens and Goblins.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm on this show, I'm just reminded how long I've listened to this show before being on it and realizing that my friends and I would only refer to the expansion as Cataclysm as a result of clips like that on this podcast.
Right, that thing memed out pretty hard at the time. There was a lot of people calling it that. I feel bad for that girl because she kind of got lumped on, but But yeah, we're we were here to help spread the problem.
way to be a force for change.
It's one way to look at it. Anyway, so let's see. That's it. That's pretty much up where we're at with WoW right now. The current game, the main game. I mean, stuff going on. Mostly, just you know, people are in either enjoying or not enjoying 8.2 and cranking through it. And that's about all there is to it right now. Classic's kind of the hot thing on everyone's mind. So not much you can do about that.
I am trying to catch up on my rep to get flying since I was gone for a week and a half, and it is
arduous.
Taking forever.
Yeah, I haven't had the
it's taking.
Haven't had the gumption yet.
Absolute ever.
I haven't had the gumption yet. I'll get around to it, but I just have not. I just can't make myself do it.
I'm so done with it. Just give us flying when the damn patch drops. I'm so over grinding rep to get my freaking flying.
I know. It doesn't
There is
really
nothing I hate
add.
More in modern World of Warcraft.
And even for those people that go, just play the game. You should already be there. No, there's plenty they add. It's all fine if you got nothing to do with your life. But man, I say this, but I'm about to enter the classic realm where everything takes forever. So I don't. I'm contradicting myself here. We'll see how it goes. I have real concerns. Let's put it that way. Check this out. All right, that music means this. We're going to talk about what else is going on around Blizzard. Now, Overwatch, there's nothing going on, but there is something happening in the industry that I think we may see something happen with Overwatch, possibly Heroes of the Storm as a result. And that is this. A bunch of stuff went down. In particular, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo on the console front got out ahead of loot boxes and said, we're going to start publishing the percentages of win and what you're going to win information or what you could win information with loot boxes. So anytime they have loot box stuff happen, they're going to tell you what your chances are to win. This is already a thing you have to do in China for certain games. In fact, I think even Overwatch has to do that in China, if I remember right. Overall, though, loot boxes are kind of nobody wants to do them anymore. Everyone talks kind of negatively about them. And Rocket League this week announced they're dumping them. Done. No more loot boxes. They're out. And I have a theory that that's gonna be a trend. And Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm and games out there that all use loot boxes, I think their days are numbered. I think they're getting rid of them. I think it's gonna be battle passes or stuff similar to that moving forward, which I think is a much more consumer-friendly solution to what people need to do to make a longer tail of their game and make more money down the road. So, just a prediction. Overwatch, going to lose their boxes. Garrett, counterpoint.
I have no skin in this game.
Unless you agree. You probably agree, right? Maybe, sort of?
I don't think they're going to lose their boxes.
I hope they do. I hate them. I hate them. Don't you hate them? I hate them. Loot boxes are dumb.
I do hate them, but I also don't really play the game.
Right, so. Let's talk Heroes of the Storm for a second. If they got rid of loot boxes, loot chests, whatever they're calling them, and went with some sort of battle pass, you'd do that in a heartbeat, right? I would.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Like, that would be the perfect game for it. They should totally do that. I know they, you know, have their development on that team, but I still think they should do that. Hearthstone, what's going on? Bunch of card reveals. Everyone opened their packs. Anything exciting to say there about the expansion and all that? You're enjoying yourself?
Yeah, it seems to be a decent mix of things not changing enough, but there also being noteworthy new archetypes breaking out. I was very wrong about Paladin. I thought they were going to be just hot freaking shit. And they've got arguably the best aggro deck in the entire game right now with Murloc Paladin.
Wow. That's good to hear.
Yeah. I was also wrong with Warrior. I thought we were just going to continue playing bombs, which some people are doing, but there's also a really good new control Warrior that's playing the new taunt package, and I thought we were just going to like be like, oh, these taunt cards are cool, but there's no reason to do anything different because Warrior is still very good. But
that's awesome.
There's a control Warrior running the taunt package, and it's really, really good if you want to climb ladder.
That's ironic.
Probably,
you know,
slowly.
When I was in high school, my wrestling name was Taunt Package. For a while.
Oh, Todd Package. Okay.
Yeah. I had some, I had a real reputation for some stuff. I don't want to get into details, but watch out for Todd Package is all I would say. Well, that's awesome. Well done. And did you get any cards you wanted? Like 100%? Like great. You've got all sets, all cards. Everything
no,
won.
I had a horrible pack opening.
Oh no.
I like hit like the exact average, of legendaries, and as usual, Jocelyn just like made out like a bandit.
Why did she do that? How did she figure that out?
She's just the luckiest son of a gun I've ever met in a game with complete random luck and opening card packs.
Yeah. I mean, that's one place, by the way, that's one place you will not see randomization go away, although I could see a scenario where if government pressure heats up, Hearthstone would have to start talking about percentages and things like that, but they're never going to get rid of
They've
packs.
Already released them for the same reason, because of Chinese stuff.
They do
it's
it here?
A card game, though. Like, if legislation started to affect digital card games in the U.S., do we have to, will it also affect paper card games? Because it's no different.
I completely agree. Like, that's a... No one ever mentions that, but that's a thing they're going to have to contend with. And that, I mean, that goes all the way. That's like if you're just buying... If you're buying baseball cards, right? Like, baseball cards are going to be the same, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I was mostly talking about Magic the Gathering, and Hearthstone is still way cheaper than Magic the Gathering if you want to try and get, like, every card in a set.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, there's tons of them, though. Pokemon. Like, anything that has a package with cards in it, are they going to make you put a little card in there that says, your chances of... Like, what do they even do with physical stuff? Like, yeah, that's an issue. They're going to have to...
I guess you could start printing the odds on the package itself, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's a weird conversation for sure. I mean, when I stop and think about it, I spend so much money on Hearthstone every year, more than any other game I play.
Yeah,
because of the cost to try and play most decks.
Yeah.
I don't have to spend that much, but I'd like to try most archetypes so I can be knowledgeable on them.
You've bought a lot of JPEGs, is what you've done.
Yes, yeah, but when I think about it, you know, with other card games, especially physical ones like Magic, it's way more affordable.
Yeah, that's true. Well, when the big alien EMP comes and we all lose everything digital, just remember how many JPEGs you bought over the years. Everything will be fine. You'll feel good about it. Heroes of the Storm is kind of rocking it right now. They got a new character, came out this week. Her name is Kuira, spelled Q-U-I-R-A. We talked about her at length.
Q-U-Q-H.
Sorry, I spelled that wrong.
Isn't it Q-H? Yeah.
You're right. Q-H-I-R-A. You're right. I don't know why I put a U in there. Typo.
I don't know why I had such a strong reaction. It's a fictional character, so.
Yeah, I also, she's not in any other Blizzard IP. She's an original character, new to the Nexus-born. Now we have two of these, and it sounded from a recent Q&A on Reddit that they may be the last for a while. They don't have anything else in the pipe right now. They do have other Blizzard characters in the pipe. But I like her a lot. She's really cool. She gives me kind of a Wakanda vibe. She's got this sword that segments and goes super long. Reminds me of, Kratos has something like this, I think.
It's a bit like Kratos' chains, but the design of the sword reminds me very specifically of the sword in the first Pacific Rim that the mech has.
Oh,
it's the segmented thing that locks together.
Right. There you go. That's another, that may actually be what I'm thinking of. Because every time I see her use it, I go, that reminds me of freaking something.
Well, the way she plays is kind of Kratos-like. But if you're just looking at the design of the sword, it looks very much like something out of Pacific Rim. But
I think she's a little overtuned right now. She's super powerful and fun to watch and fun to play. They'll probably nerf her, but she's really cool. I think worth picking up.
What do you think my read on Kuira is?
So mine is, I've stated, I think she's rad. I haven't heard the latest ITN, and I watched only part of the stream the other day, or yesterday, and it wasn't the part where you talked about her. So this is me completely guessing. I'm guessing you don't like the in-Nexus born stuff, and you don't, and that's a bummer for you, that you would prefer this was some Blizzard IP character. Correct or not?
You're correct about the overarching thought that I don't like Nexus-born heroes.
Okay.
You're incorrect if you think I don't like Kuira, because I think she has one of the best kits in the entire game.
Now, would you agree with me that part of what makes her innovative and rad and having one of the best kits in the game is that they are unbound by the existing character they have to work with, and they can start from some scratch, even start from kit and work back? Like, that seemed like a good thing. So would you like to see these continue, or would you just prefer they get more creative with Blizzard IP?
I mean, why does Zul'jin like throw circle axes? Like, that has nothing to do with Zul'jin. So I'm not sure how bound they truly are.
Yeah.
By doing a Blizzard, an existing Blizzard hero.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't really care. If it's fun to play, it's fun to play. That's really it at the end of the day. I think they've really missed the fantasy of Heroes of the Storm, which is the bashing together of all of these universes.
Yeah.
When they, like last year, when they were really getting into their, like, up their own butt with their own lore, I could not have cared less about it.
Yeah.
Like, you are missing the point. The whole reason we're here is to have Raynor fight Diablo.
Yeah.
Like, why are we spending any time at all on the Raven Lord? Yeah. I don't want this to sound like a fact though, because I know there are people that do enjoy it.
Oh, sure.
I just disagree with those people.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they haven't done enough to hook me into the story to begin with. I don't have a problem with them trying to do more with it, but and characters are fine with that. But I see it like almost like Overwatch heroes. They're so Johnny come lately to the Blizzard scene that when I see one of those introduced into the Nexus, I'm like, oh, okay. They're not really Blizzard, you know, they're not, I don't think of them as a classic Blizzard hero, but they're also fun to play, and that's enough. But I agree with you. The game's supposed to be Blizzard All-Stars, kind of. Like, it's supposed to be this big... It's like Smash Brothers. You don't want to go, what if there were Smash Brothers-only characters that grew up, you know, inside of the fighting scene? No, we want Nintendo characters and, like, other game characters you made contracts with, like Snake and freaking Sonic or whoever, to come over. You don't want, like, oh, this character's called... Big Billy Cheese Bucket, and he lives down under the castle, and now he's fighting round one. Like, that's dumb, in my opinion.
Yeah, again, though, it's another one of these things where it's like, it's not how I would do it, but I also don't feel so strongly about it that I think it's that important to freak out about it on Reddit or whatever.
Yeah.
Because the game is good, and the kit is amazing, and the hero is fun to play.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing.
Mouse Divided says,
and I can get it. Like, I can kind of like think about if you're on that team.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to defend something I don't like here. Think about you're on the Heroes of the Storm team.
Yeah.
You're really proud of your game.
Yeah.
You know, you've done a lot. You've weathered more crap than anyone else. You've weathered more naysayers than any other game at Blizzard because you relate to the MOBA game, and yet you still have created an amazing MOBA. And you know, you're still going strong even after everything that happened. You know, you probably want to make your own hero.
Yeah.
You want to put your own stamp on it.
I get
that desire.
Yeah. Creatively,
and if anyone's earned it,
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. If anyone's earned it, it's the Heroes team.
I agree.
So if they want to get weird, if they want to experiment, if they want to put their own stamp on the Blizzard universe, I think they have more than earned it, even if I would rather have Deathwing out of the game.
Right. Well, that's a whole nother conversation, but I don't know how Deathwing even works. I don't think it works.
He has a human form.
Yeah, but that's boring. Nobody wants to see him walking down the lane going, yeah, I'm Deathwing in human form. Check me out. And then once in a while...
Listen, Scott, just because you want to see Alexstrasza walking down the lane because you like her bikini doesn't mean that you can't give Deathwing the same treatment.
No, my liking of her is that she's actually the exception that proves the rule. She comes out and says, I'm in human form, walking down the lanes, pretty dumb. Once in a while, I can be a dragon when the cooldown's up, and I got kind of a cool alt. That is the one trick. There's nothing else to do. Like, Deathwing would just go up in the sky and rain down terror. He's never going to be giant Deathwing. I don't know, man. He's the world breaker. You can't have him in there. He's a world breaker.
Excuse me, Mr. Johnson. Alexstrasza is actually taking the form of a high elf, not a human form.
Right, now you're going to tell... I mean, we have two dragons in the game. You got her and... what's her name?
Chromie.
Couldn't think of it. You got Chromie in there. And the way they handled Chromie was, we may as well just not have her be a dragon. She doesn't exist as a dragon. She exists as a gnome, and she does her thing, and it's fine. And she's great for being the mage character she is. I don't know how... You'd have to do something like... It's got to be more like Chromie than Alexstrasza, because Deathwing... like I said, it's a whole other conversation, but I don't see it. I can't see Deathwing in there. I just can't see it. Maybe. Somebody in the chat I wanted to mention. Oh, Mouse Divided says, I think it's weird, but I like that Kira's left-handed. I hadn't noticed that until he just said that. So that is kind of cool.
Is she?
Is she? I think so. In the art.
Go
and
in the check.
Nothing wrong with a left-handy.
So in the art, she's right-handed. In the screenshots, she's left-handed. So yeah. In the game itself.
Right. And the art could be flipped.
Just, yeah, but I'm seeing the same piece over and 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 over, and over, and over again on Google. So, including officially on Blizzard.
Like this. Yeah, she is right-handed in that. Oh, shoot. I unplugged my headphones.
Weird. But her.
Also, someone earlier said that the sword is similar to what Ivy uses in the Soul Calibur games. That's true. That's who I'm thinking of. That's the one. I
haven't played Soul Calibur since 2005.
That's the one, though. Her sword goes rigid at some point and then out to the segments when she's ripping it around people. Like, that's her. That's totally her.
Listen, I don't want to talk about rigid and stiff swords in regards to Ivy. I don't want to know what people are doing out there.
Look, the fanfic is strong for the for that part of the world. I don't know what I'm saying. All right,
man,
I'm
gonna play. That was just the golden age of pervy-ass fighting games.
Oh, yeah, dude. Totally. And even the new one. I mean, the new one's dialed back a little bit, but because of that character creator, you can go to town. You can make a penis, really.
Is there a new Soul Calibur? I honestly have no idea.
Oh, yeah. The new Soul Calibur, specifically the PC version, because of the interface, is great because you can make anybody. Like, it's got a character creator thing that's on par with, like, I don't even know what to, like, Spore almost. Like, in terms of, like, just taking shapes and making shit out of it. It's crazy. People make John Wick characters in there.
Oh, I completely forgot about this. Yeah, I remember the buff-ass Pikachu fight or something.
Yeah.
Making the rounds.
Yeah. Those are the ones. Anyway, check this out. We're doing this now.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, time for the Town Crier. It's emails. That's what they are. You guys send us your emails. We read them on the show. It's theinstance@gmail.com, theinstance@gmail.com. We got one from Brad who says, hey, Scott, Patrick, and Garrett. Patrick's on vacation still, everybody. That's what they do in France. He's not back until like the 20th, by the way.
Is he retired?
I don't know how they do this over there. And he tells me that this is normal for like everybody everywhere, not just Patrick the podcaster. Like, people who just have regular jobs go, all right, I'm taking my 2 months off. See everyone. I don't know how they do it. And I'm sure someone's...
That's it. I'm going home. I'm moving to Germany. I'm going to the motherland.
All right. Is that your lineage? Is Germany?
My last name is Weinzer Earl Scott. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, duh. What was I thinking? Well, that could be like Austrian or something, or, you know, I don't know. Do you feel the tendency? Do you feel like you're better than everybody else and that you want to... All right. It's too soon.
That's where you went with it.
Yeah,
that's
I decided to go full World War II. All right. Anyway,
feel the tendency to be very coy about any nationalism and displays of military force.
Yes, this is true. But Bondi Country or whatever in the chat says, yes, the USA is weird. He's an ex-Briton living in the U.S. I hear this from everybody. They all take their vacations very seriously, and they're long, and they're very complete vacations. Like, it's a huge percentage of their year. And here
that sounds
just,
so much better than how what I just went through, which was feeling guilty about being out of town for 2 months.
Yes, I do that too. I hate it. Oh my gosh, I hate it. I have a family reunion thing coming to the end of the year or the end of the month, and I'm dreading it, not because I don't want to see everybody, not because they're not fun or any of that, because I know it's going to pull me away from stuff and I'm going to feel guilty the whole time. That's it. Capitalism. Anyway, check this out. He says, a longtime fan of the show, I'm curious what each of your favorite music from World of Warcraft is. My personal favorite is the music from Grizzly Hills, due in no small part to Wrath of the Lich King being my first expansion at max level. Love the show, Brad. So we've talked about this before. I wanted to use this email as a way to also tell people that I'm this close to getting Russell back on the show in a post-Blizzard form. Talk about whatever he wants to talk about, but also talk about what music he's up to and just some of the music and WoW in general. He's still a thing he can talk about. So this email gave me that excuse, but also I wanted to kind of tell people what our favorite music is. So my favorite intro music, because I have two categories here. My favorite intro music is the one is called Siege of Worlds from Warlords. It's my favorite thing about Warlords is the intro music, and it sounds like this. I'm going to skip ahead a little so you can get the gist of it here. I love that just marchy, freaking angry orc army vibe, and I think they killed it with that. That was also a Russell joint. And then my favorite in-game music, like just sort of ambient, chilling out, whatever, is Grizzly Hills. So I'm right there with him. I think Grizzly Hills was a transformative moment in the game for me, because when I came over that ridge and saw these rolling green hills and trees and just a very different environment, plus the new draw distance in that expansion was an enormous jump. I just was swept up in the music in such a way that now I still think of that music all the time. I play it here and there. So those are my favorites, Garrett. Do you have favorites?
I am very, very partial to, I think it's called the Sindorai, is the track for the Blood Elf leveling area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good.
I think it's called the Sindorai.
Yeah.
I really love that. There's a whole lot of cello going on in there, and I'm a sucker for a good string arrangement.
You're a cello man?
Yeah, even though I have no idea how to play one.
Oh, here it is. Let me see if this is the song. I think this is it. Let me skip that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one. That's a really good one too.
That music really just that is like a sense memory. I hear that and I am a sophomore in college.
Oh, that's crazy. I love leveling
that one too. Warlock. And really that like it, I think it's part of the reason I have such a fond memory for Burning Crusade. I love Blood Elf so much and all the lore going on there. I was so happy when they were added to the game. And even though I didn't take my when I first got BC, since I wasn't max level, the first thing I did was go and roll a Blood Elf. Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of time leveling, and then eventually I got a hair up my butt and decided to go back to my Alliance Hunter and finish it up and get to max level. But it came full circle when Quel'Danas was released as the final patch. Mm. And over a year later, I head out to Quel'Danas and I hear that music again. And yeah. It just brought that whole freaking expansion just full circle for me.
I think it's probably fair to say that on the whole, Blizzard's World of Warcraft music sort of collection over the years is still like some of the best you'll ever get anywhere, any video game, and maybe movie for that matter. Like the stuff is just so good. It's so cinematic. It sets the tone for every zone you're in, for every fight you do. Like it's just so good. It's still the high watermark, and I don't think anyone's even come close to it.
Yep. The other one is, and this is probably just my favorite of all time, is Arthas, my son, the arrangement for the cinematic for Wrath of the Lich King.
That's very good.
It's like a constant crescendo, because it starts so slow and quiet and beautiful with this undertinge of like horror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God, I love it.
It's really
love
good.
Everything about it.
You're really good. You're right there, too. Here's one of my favorite of Battle for Azeroth. This is an ambient theme. It is actually not on the soundtrack. It's just part of the game. And I captured it out in a very short form because I like it so much. It's just this part where you're out in Zandalari. You're in kind of the swamp areas, and this plays a lot. And it sets the tone for that place in like this like seriously rad way. So I love that. And now I use that for a sounder all the time.
That was... going down into the swamp from the capital, because it has that like really steep descending entrance.
Mm-hmm.
You essentially leave the giant pink pyramid city.
Yeah.
and you're going down, and like as the fog rolls in, dude, like that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like BFA did such a good job with these continents.
Yeah. And also just to, you know, to give a shout out to the team. I don't necessarily love, I think the intro is a little derivative of for this expansion, but the content music throughout the BFA content is really great. And it's the first full soundtrack without Russell being there. And I think that just speaks to him leaving such a great footprint, and those guys who remain are killing it. So keep it up, guys.
Yeah. I think Nazmir is one of my favorite zones in a very, very long time.
Yeah. It's really good. You guys have heard, maybe I haven't played it on this show. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find it. So Bo did a guitar thing for the Invincible. You know, remember the Invincible song, the one about his horse, about Arthas's horse?
Yeah. I think you played that a couple episodes.
Did I play that? Yeah, it's really good. I should play it at the end of the show, maybe. Just I haven't played the whole thing before. It's really good. Anyway.
I have an extended outro.
Yeah, why not? There you go. There's your email. And it's super easy to send one in. Theinstance@gmail.com. Your thoughts, your feelings, your questions, all welcome at theinstance@gmail.com. And that is going to do it for the show. All right, Garrett, between now and next time we meet, are there any cool things people should be checking out over in your neck of the woods?
Yeah. We just put out a brand new episode of Into the Nexus. So if you want to hear about all the stuff that just hit Heroes of the Storm and kind of wrap your brain around it, the most recent episode will do exactly that. And also we got a new Angry Chicken coming on Tuesday, where we will be joined by special guest Cora, who is about to not be able to be a guest anymore because she just got hired by Blizzard.
Oh my gosh, I saw that. Yeah, saw that. That's
crazy. She's going to go work on Hearthstone's final design team. But we have confirmed with her she's still more than allowed to come and guest on the show on Tuesday.
Nice.
So it'll be our first post Saviors of Uldum launch episode of The Angry Chicken. And Cora will be joining us, and I couldn't be more excited about this. I feel the tone of our interview may shift a little bit though, given recent events.
Yeah, maybe. She's interesting because I follow her on Twitter and I saw her thing and I got all nervous because it said, "I'm getting out of the commentary business," or something was the top of her tweet. And I went, "Oh no, what happened? Somebody was a jerk or something terrible happened." And then it was because I got hired by Blizzard. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was so happy for her. She has gotten so much just crap.
Yeah.
From random a-holes on the internet that it really, really annoys me because I think she was one of the more talented casters.
I agree.
And I'm really excited to have her on the show on Tuesday.
She deserves all good things. So I'm excited to hear about that. Should be a good interview. Check that out. Amove.tv for all that and other shows Garrett's all up to. You can find me working real hard. Hopefully soon you'll get to see the fruition of this. But I've been working my butt off on a card game that I designed. And pretty soon that will be available for people to look at, decide if they want to buy one or not. They'll be cheap. It's a 65-card deck called Rock Runners Incorporated. And I don't want to say too much about it, except if you like sci-fi and cool art, I made a card game. And I'm nervous, and I'm putting it out there for the whole world. We're not Kickstarter or nothing, just making a card game. And I got a sample. Oh, I have a sample deck already. It's looking awesome. I think we're just having to do instructions and boxes, and we're done with this damn thing. So keep your eye on the website. I'll have something up soon that will sort of detail the game and let people know where they can get it. That's over at frogpants.com. For everything else you're looking for this show, do not forget, you can find us at theinstance.net. That is our website, theinstance.net. And between now and next week, send us your emails, theinstance@gmail.com. You can also find Garrett at Garrett Art on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. Patrick's at Not Patrick. To find more shows like this, at frogpants.com. Don't forget to support us on our support system. Super easy to do and not expensive. And some really rad stuff you get in the mail. You get cool digital rewards. You get a bonus show every month. There's so much more that you can get out of the show if you support us over at theinstance.net. You'll see the button right there. We'd love to have you. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Garrett, and for the vacationing Patrick. We'll see you next time. Yeah.
Silence from Uldum portends a major catastrophe. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. The deserts of Uldum have been, like so many other zones, relegated to the backwaters of Azerothian history. These days, pretty much the only reason heroes have to go there is to get to Magni Bronzebeard in Silithus before he opens a portal shortcut for you. I was doing just that on a new alt when I noticed something upon portaling into Ramkahen's city. It was quiet. Too quiet. Instead of a bustling town filled with Tolvir, the streets and buildings were empty. Looking around, I entered the main temple and was met by a horrific sight, rows upon rows of stone Tolvir statues. What had happened? Had Siamat somehow returned to cure all these felines of the curse of the flesh? As I pondered the scene, I heard music coming from a side entrance to the temple. When I investigated, I found an abandoned cart outside. I recognized the style. It was one of Sulla's. It appears he had gone into the mobile billboard business, since the cart had a large digital display. When I realized what was playing on that display, it became clear what had happened. It was a trailer for the upcoming live-action movie of Cats. As I watched Dame Judi Dench, James Corden, and Taylor Swift dance into the uncanny valley, I knew the Tolvir had seen their future and had prayed to be turned to stone. Because as a race that prides itself on its appearance, the thought of looking real and yet unreal was just a step too fur.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at FrogPants.com.